Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the continuing story of Christmas. Rather unusual setting here with Matthew chapter 2. The way that it's written, it's sort of broken up into different sections. We haven't gotten to Epiphany yet, so the wise men haven't really come into play. We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there to the wise men, but they're not quite here yet. And so our reading for today sort of takes place in an intermediary period, intermixed with the action of the wise men, the confrontation with Herod, and some other things. So it seems a little disjointed. But the important thing are the words that have been echoed in our reading today in Matthew chapter 2. Out of Egypt I called my son. Those are words of the prophet that we actually already spoke today from Jeremiah. And also from the prophet Jeremiah, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel, weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they are no more. And then finally, the words of the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. All of these are fulfillments of prophecies from Old Testament that Jesus fulfills for a number of reasons. He fulfills them so that those who ought to recognize him, the fellow Jews that are there in that time, those who ought to recognize him could recognize him. Because the Messiah was the one that was going to fulfill all of these prophecies. And so as Jesus did, and as it was recounted in after his death and resurrection, that people could recognize that he was the one who fulfilled these prophecies so that they could believe in him then. And by believing, as John said, they could have eternal life. It wasn't just coincidence that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. It wasn't just happenstance that they were in the right place at the right time. It wasn't just chance that Jesus fulfills these prophecies, that he checks the checklist off. There's a reason for it. And lest we think that Joseph and Mary somehow had some divine knowledge or connection that everyone doesn't have, you know, that they were somehow psychic or figured out these prophecies beforehand and said, well, we're going to do this in order that Jesus fulfills. It wasn't that. They, in fact, needed guidance just like everybody else, and the Lord chose to guide them through dreams. It's not unusual. All of the Christmas story has been guided by dreams. Joseph, in his dream, was going to before his dream was going to divorce Mary, and then he's visited in a dream. Don't do it. It's all right. And here, the once again, they're in Bethlehem, probably still, or someplace around that region, and the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, you need to go. You need to get out. You need to get to Egypt. That wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't just like they were across the border or just had to hop a plane to fly down to Cairo or something like that. It was a journey. They had to get out of Israel. And there was a reason for it. They needed to escape because Herod, unbeknownst to them, got really upset at the wise men who chose not to go. See, this is where it gets convoluted. This is where we jump into Epiphany sooner than we need to. Because the wise men were supposed to go back to Herod and tell him where Jesus was, but they were warned in a dream not to do that. So they go a different way. Herod gets wind of it, gets really upset. He's been tricked. Nobody tricks Herod. And so he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem in that region with one intention: to murder all of the little boys, 2 years old and younger, in that region. This wasn't the first time mass slaughter was part of the plan, but it was probably one of the worst. And the reason that we're given is not just Herod's anger. It's a fulfillment of a prophecy. Now, that's not easy for us to handle. Why would God choose to fulfill a prophecy like that? Why wouldn't he do it some other way? Isn't there? There's got to be another way. Why would he fulfill a prophecy? Well, this prophecy goes back not just to Jeremiah, but even way before to Rachel, weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. An entire generation in Bethlehem in that region was wiped out. But our reading of Jeremiah this morning in our introit brings us the answer, the hope. He says, "They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country." So the weeping of Rachel, the weeping that continued as all of those children were killed, the hope, the promise that God gives is that they will return to their own country. They will come back. They will be once again. Now, it'll be a long time before that happens, but the fulfillment of the prophecy set again into motion this plan that God has for the salvation of his people. Because those children that were killed, as the prophet says, will return to their own country. There is hope for your future. That hope is his son, Jesus. He's the hope. And he was safe and protected in Egypt of all places. Now, the people of God had been in Egypt before. They were there for a long time. I'm sure you might remember the story. They were slaves in Egypt and were sent. Moses was sent to them to deliver them, to bring them out. Do you remember that one? The people of Israel remember that one. So once again, God's people find themselves in Egypt. Joseph and Mary and Jesus, his chosen one, finds himself in Egypt only to be delivered again, to come out of Egypt again, to fulfill everything that the original Exodus couldn't quite make. Jesus comes out of Egypt to complete what had begun so long ago, to fulfill what the prophet said. He comes out of Egypt, back into Israel. How did he know it was time? Well, it was a dream. The angel comes to Joseph in a dream once again and says, it's time to go back. Herod's dead. It's safe. You can return to Egypt, or you can return to Israel. And so as they're going, Joseph realizes that it's not as safe to go back to Bethlehem. It's not safe enough to go back to where we were before, because there's still anger. Archelaus, the son of Herod, reigning also, still anger, still hatred, still looking for that one. So they go north, all the way up into Galilee. And like Harold drawing with his crayon, they almost end up in the water. Because the You want to take the furthest path around, right? You don't want to cut too close to Jerusalem. And so you go along the sea and you make your way up into Galilee, into that region, and you find a little town that nobody pays attention to. You find a little hole in the wall somewhere where no one's going to find you because no one cares to look in Nazareth. And so they make their home there. Again, to fulfill the prophecy that said, he shall be called a Nazarene. He will come out of the city of Nazareth. So this disjointed, circuitous route that the Lord uses to fulfill the prophecy, it all ends up somewhere. It all ends up back in Nazareth, back at home, together as a family. The season of Christmas is a short season in between Advent and Epiphany, because it's where all of the pieces come together. It's that link between the expectation of Advent and the revelation of Epiphany. It's the link that sets up the story. And this is why I say, you know, sometimes people who come at just Christmas and just Easter, you kind of miss those middle pieces, the links, those pieces that put the story together so that it makes sense. If we want to know, how did Jesus end up in Nazareth? Well, you got to know the Christmas story in order to know why they ended up in Nazareth. How did he fulfill the prophecies? Well, you have to know the Christmas story if you're going to know how Jesus fulfills the prophecy. If he's the Messiah, how do we know unless we know that these prophecies have been fulfilled? These are the links that put the story together that help it to make sense. And all the while, the Lord himself is guiding each step, each journey, each going and coming and going and coming and moving and hiding. God is there, providing that protection and that guidance. See, the links are important. Just like for us, the links are important. In your story, in the story that God is telling through your life, what are the links? What are those pieces? As somebody once said, it's what's the dash in your story? Where the first thing is when you were born and the second thing is when you die. What's the link? What's the dash in between? How does this birth and this death make sense without the links? So I'm sure some of you got to share some stories over Christmas with family, retelling the links, putting the pieces together. We had a funeral here yesterday for Steve Sylvester. And after the funeral itself, the family gathered in the fellowship hall and put the links together. They told stories. They shared memories. And those were the links. Those are the pieces that put the story together. What are the links in your story? What are the pieces that make it make sense? Some of those pieces are tragic. Some of those pieces are joyful. Some of those pieces are mundane. They don't really seem like they mean much. Some are so eventful that you have to write them down. So in this Christmas season, think about the links. What are those pieces that help your story to make sense? And know this, that just as God guided each step of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, he does the same for you. He is ever present with you in the exciting times, in the boring times, the hard times, in the good times. He's there guiding. Now, he may not visit you in a dream, but he might. As Steve was known to say, he believed in miracles and angels. They are real. If they do visit you in a dream, let's talk about it, because that's exciting. But pay attention to the links. Over the next few weeks, or over the next year, what are those links? What are those things that help your life to make sense? And how is God guiding? How is he present? Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the links in our lives that help us to make sense of things. We thank you for the Christmas season that in between Advent and Epiphany connect the story to help us to make sense of it all. We thank you for your presence in our lives and your guiding hand. We thank you for your protection over Mary and Joseph and Jesus so that he could grow to be our Savior, to live and die and rise again for us. We pray that our lives would be evidence of your work. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.